Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis, worried about what kind of identity fraud's going to be committed on me today, and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How did your lady partner react to you telling her that someone was acting as you on the dating app Grindr? If you don't know what we're talking about, check out the outro of yesterday's episode.
Yeah, sounds like a funny setup. Ends up being quite uncomfortable. Well, I told her this morning, because I forgot to tell her last night. I think I blanked it out in my head.
Mm.
And she was just like, that's hilarious. But she never laughed. You know when people go, oh, that's really funny.
Mm.
But they don't laugh. You know, well, you've just, it's like writing out lol in real life. No one ever laughs out loud.
No, you're just saying it because I'm looking for a way to end this sentence. Or to look like I'm being passive aggressive.
Yeah. And so it was kind
You're being an idiot, lol.
It's kind of like she recognised the humour in the situation, but she didn't actually think it was... It didn't produce that laughter response, probably because of the uncomfortableness.
See, my wife has not heard it yet.
Mm-hmm. But she knows?
No. I told her yesterday, when I got home, I was like, belting email in the outro of today's podcast. She was like, don't tell me. I just want to listen to it tomorrow.
Okay.
So she will listen to it today, but I've not heard from her yet.
I told my lady partner, oh, and in the story, but this was the thing that got the biggest reaction, like, because when the chap messages the fake Ollie Davis on Grindr and says, oh, does Anna know about this? I told her that bit, and she went, oh, they know my name. Yes, we've been through this. It comes up every now and again. I can't always call you lady partner. She was like, oh, I don't like people knowing my name.
This is why we came up with the term lady partner. So this sort of thing didn't happen. But then people had to go, oh, why'd you say that for? It sounds weird.
Well, she says she doesn't like people knowing her name. But it's that kind of like, ooh, she does. She does. She gets a thrill.
Gets the thrill.
Anyway, what have you been up to? You got any good correspondence?
We have got some correspondence, actually. So I'll read you this one first, because we're enjoying your wrestling meeting stories. When you meet wrestlers and stuff. We've also, actually, I had some tweets yesterday from Steven Zucic, who... was the lad who met Rusev in a restaurant.
Well, I was going to propose a name for this segment based off that story.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want it?
Mm-hmm.
Rusev, hey.
Okay, very nice.
Because you're meeting a wrestler.
Yep.
It's like Rusev Day. I mean, everyone probably already got that. That's where the extent of the joke stops. I thought it was good.
But
that's hilarious.
But Steven just did get in touch with me on Twitter to say, listening to you talk about my Rusev experience just now, he was playing on his phone, not on it. Like I said, I felt like an a-hole. I just tried to use PG language for the podcast. Also, the pic wasn't something I posted anywhere. Just shot a couple of friends. Also, thank you to Ollie Davis for making me feel more of an ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know. You know you're an arse in that situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, Stephen, like, I think he... Well, okay, I'll read the email that he sent here. Because he then sent me another email last night. So it said, you read off my email about meeting Rusev on the Raw review. I was disappointed. You guys read it as if read it off as me being a creep when I thought you would find the humour in it, since I acted like a doofus.
Yes. Oh, is that...
No, there's another redeeming story, but I thought we would have just addressed Stephen's issues at first. I don't know if that's the way it came across, because I thought it was quite dripping in self-deprecating humour.
Yeah, what we did there, Stephen, is we worked you. We followed you with the self-depreciating humour by making you feel worse about yourself.
Exactly.
That's we just
embrace the shame.
Yeah, embrace it. Yeah. I mean, if I told some of the embarrassing wrestler fan stories I've got, I just thinking about them makes my insides want to crumble.
Oh yeah, I just want to melt away. I want to emigrate.
We can't celebrate these things.
No.
So we've got to call them out as they are. But we feel you, Stephen. Sorry you felt belittled, but we can be quite critical. Go and see crap gimmicks.
Awkward wrestler meeting from Chris Smith. Hi guys, thanks for reading my poem. After some recent stories of fans meeting wrestlers, I'd like to add my own, although I'm sorry about the length. That's what she said. Despite meeting bigger stars like AJ Styles, Kurt Angle and Kenny Omega, this is my all-time favorite meeting with a wrestler for the sheer absurdity. 5 years ago, I was at WrestleCon in New Jersey, WWE's least favourite place in the world, and I tried to meet Brian Kendrick at his merch table after the show. When I was second in line, CZW wrestler Pinky Sanchez, who I'm guessing enjoyed some substances backstage, wandered over and slurred, "Hey man, you gotta put money in the jar to meet Brian." He then explained that Brian's cat needed an operation and that any money I was willing to donate would be appreciated. Yeah. Unfortunately, when I opened my wallet, I found I was out of dollars. The rest were back at my hotel room across the street, and I only had pounds.
Convenient.
That's what I always say. I told Piggy Sanchez I only had British currency, and he said that he would talk to Brian. What followed was one of the funny exchanges between two wrestlers I've ever heard. "Yo, Brian, does Captain Jack Sparrow care if it's British currency?" "No, man," Kendrick called back while still signing an autograph for the guy in front of me. "Any money is fine. I can trade it at the bank tomorrow." For the record, the next day was Sunday, WrestleMania 29, in fact, so I doubted Kendrick would be visiting any banks. But to be fair to him, he had clearly shared a few substances with Sanchez, so I won't hold that against him. I decided to empty all my useless British coins into the jar. It must have been less than £3 altogether, and Kendrick happily signed an autograph while Piggy Sanchez shook my hand and told me what a nice guy I was. 2 years later, I met Piggy Sanchez again and asked if he remembered that meeting. He didn't, but he did remember Kendrick's cat and informed me that Captain Jack Sparrow went on to have a successful surgery and was still with us as of September 2015. Thanks again, Chris.
Oh, so the cat was called Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
That wasn't just Sanchez's nickname for Brian Kendrick, because there are similarities there.
Yeah, and the captain's hook.
Exactly.
His finishing move, not the bully choke, whatever they called it in the Cruiserweight Classic.
What a great name for a cat. I mean, long. Captain Jack Sparrow. Come on, Captain Jack Sparrow.
I can do it, though, without thinking of the Lonely Island song.
Yeah.
This is the tale. Do you want...
This whole town's of just waiting to get...
One of my favourite bits of TV edits. You know, they do TV edits of movies where you take out the swearing and you, like, dub it over with things. It's where funk comes from in the Shaun of the Dead.
Sure.
It's 4 in the funking morning. Or
Melon Farmer.
Yep, yippee-ki-yay, Melon Farmer. My favourite one is from Scarface, which is, "This whole town is one big chicken waiting to get plucked."
What's the point? What is the point of choosing Scarface to go on your airplane movie distribution system? You're going to change... Like, why is that the line? Considering all the other things that happen in Scarface. Like, I just don't get where you start with trying to edit that movie for a pre-watershed... Not even a pre-watershed, but just a non-explicit format.
Very good. Very good. Very interesting to point out.
Well, shall we save everything else for the outro?
Go on, then.
No, this isn't 4 years ago. We're talking about Kane's return in 2018. He's done it again. I'm actually excited to see Kane again, because this time he was brought back to reunite Team Hell No with Daniel Bryan. How is that for a storyline I never knew I wanted? I loved it. I'm so happy. I'm over the moon. What an episode of SmackDown. How are you doing, Luke?
Pretty good. I'm also very excited by this. I loved this episode of SmackDown Live. I've got my grievances with it, but we'll come on to those. But let's focus on all the really good stuff, like this I mean, I loved the match that Brian and Harper had. I thought the match was pretty, it was getting pretty terrific, to be honest. And I was like, I'd love to see more of this. Yes, please. And that's why I was excited last week when the Bludgeon Brothers started a feud with Daniel Bryan. I was like, this is very interesting. And then we were all asking the question, where is it going to go? Who's the tag team partner going to be? I theorized it could be The Miz. And I thought when they did Miz TV, they might set that up. Then people thought it might be Johnny Gargano. Some people thought it might be Ty Dillinger. There was all these questions. And the question was answered just 7 days later. It's the return of Kane. It's the one that no one really imagined, because he's now mayor-elect of Knox County.
Yeah, how does that work? I think he's the Republican nomination become mayor.
I'm pretty sure he's mayor-elect.
He's mayor-elect.
Yes. So I mean, okay. He won, but he's not officially mayor yet. So it's like when
the president-elect in that sort of...
Yes, exactly.
3 months.
I think that... I mean, I'm not an American. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm not an American.
So what?
I don't overly know how the American politics system works.
I don't think Americans know how it works. It seems ridiculously complex sometimes.
I stay up usually to watch, like, the presidency, like, when the elections come in. And every time, every 4 years, they explain to me how this all works. And every time I go... Nope, don't get it. Yeah. It's the same way when someone tries to explain to me how the Super Bowl works.
Glaze over.
And I'm just like, no, don't get it, mate. This makes zero sense.
Just tell me who the two teams are who might win and I'll put a bet on and eat some, like, chips.
There's such an easy way to do a tournament, and they have found the most complex way of doing it. It's like Vince Russo invented the Super Bowl tournament.
I'm going to explain it for you.
Yeah?
It's the G1. Just imagine there's block A, there's block B, but sometimes block A and block B also play each other, and sometimes there's more... You're right, it's stupid.
I was gonna say,
Kane and Daniel Bryan.
I've never heard Dave Meltzer talk about the G1 and talk about, like, when he just goes off on a tangent being like, well, this person could win if you get this person here and do this, this, and this. And it's just like, Dave, you've just said nothing but words, and none of it has meant anything.
And half of them are,
well, it could be, well, you know.
So, Kane and Daniel Bryan, It started off, as you said, with Miz TV opening the episode of SmackDown, and the Bludgeon Brothers come out, and they had a quite fun performance, made better by The Miz, because they were being big and intimidating and stoic and silent, and The Miz was like, hey, maybe you could join the Miztourage, we could do this together, take out Daniel Bryan.
Or he can have roles in Rough Rough Ref. Which I thought was really funny, because there was so Miz is asking the questions and then would, like, hand the mic over to them, but, like, take a step back. I see what I loved about this opening segment. I felt this accomplished three different things. It kept the plate spinning of Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. It continued the feud between Daniel Bryan and the Bludgeon Brothers, and also established that the Bludgeon Brothers and The Miz are not affiliated. Mm. The Bludgeon Brothers did not beat up Daniel Bryan last week to help The Miz, which some people thought it might have been.
Yeah. And the way they're keeping Miz and Bryan apart is masterful at the moment, because we all know that's where it's going. This is a fine thing to be predictable, and you just keep them apart, let that keep bubbling in the background, build that anticipation. Miz also had a wonderful line where he talked about beating Bryan when he was at 100%. When he wasn't, he wrestled two matches, and then he was beaten up by the Bludgeon Brothers.
You laid him out, and then he stood up 100%, and I beat him.
Yeah, so this is when Daniel Bryan comes out and he says, hey, he says this line. Where is it? Sorry, I've lost my notes. He says, I have the heart to beat anyone. If anyone else said that line, that would have sounded terrible. But when Daniel Bryan said it, I was like, yeah, you do. Come on, babyface.
Can you imagine if Roman Reigns had said it?
Boo. Boo. And Bryan effectively says, which one of you am I going to fight first?
Yeah,
that's a badass line.
So cool. Makes him look like such a badass dude.
And then Luke Harper doesn't grab the mic off Miz. He grabs Miz's whole arm and brings it up to his face. And he's like, you just don't get it, do you, Bryan, or something. And then it transpires that it is Luke Harper versus Daniel Bryan for the main event. And I must admit, at this point, I got a bit snotty.
Mm.
Yeah, I was just like, so this is going to be a longer... thing. I thought, like, we're gonna have, like, of all the people, you got AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe on this brand, and Daniel Bryan's first two feuds, first proper programs after coming out of retirement, not counting the WrestleMania match, is Big Cass and the Bludgeon Brothers. And I like the Bludgeon Brothers, really like Harper. That's what you're doing with Brian?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I also thought this when the reveal happened, because my first thought was like, wow, like Brian's made his comeback and all he's done is had a feud with Big Cass and now it's a nostalgia act. And I was like, and that's always a bit concerning. But at the same time, I mean, the ending made me smile so much that I'm like, I can look past the fact that this is just a nostalgia act and there probably is a better use of Daniel Bryan on the show. In fact, there's multiple better uses for Daniel Bryan on the show. But, man, you know what? I'm looking forward to that Extreme Rules match.
Yeah, so that's fast forward to what happened in the main event where it was Luke Harper, Daniel Bryan. Bryan was shown shadow boxing with Galanderson before the match.
Weird.
Going into the break. Which was weird, yeah. It's not like he's AJ Styles or Finn Balor. He's an honorary member of the club now, I guess.
I guess so.
Daniel Bryan joins Bullet Club confirmed. He's all in.
He is all in.
And I like it because it makes the backstage area feel like a living, breathing universe where everyone's connected. Mm-hmm. And you're not just like limited to who you're interacting with in a storyline. And they had, like you said, a pretty decent match. I wasn't as into it as you were. I just thought it was a pretty decent match.
I'll tell you why I found this was a really decent match. Because I really liked the opener as well. But I felt that everything else throughout the show was rest holds. Like, there were so many rest holds across this show. And I was like, oh man, I cannot stand to look at another rest hold while an ad break is on. And then we just do it. And I just felt that everything was becoming really formulaic and it was really starting to annoy me. But this actually told a story instead. This was strength versus speed. Mm. They did have a rest hold spot, but it was strength versus speed. And all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, cool, wrestling. Yes, I do enjoy watching wrestling, actually. I enjoy watching more than just rest holds.
You like offense and defense and offense and defense.
That's exactly it. I mean, good. That Eric Young, Jeff Hardy match was, we'll get to it. Mm. But that actually got kind of picked me back up again. Although Corey Graves said this really odd thing where they were talking about, like, Daniel Bryan just doesn't get it. And he's like, Jamie Lee Curtis has been trying to stop Michael Myers for 30 years now and she still hasn't managed it. And I'm like, mate, she's won all the time. Like, every time they've crossed paths, she's always won. With the exception of one, and in all fairness, she opted to take that loss.
Yeah.
Like, well, she only signed on for that match so she could lose.
I think that was Corey Graves intentionally trying to annoy you. Super Halloween fan over here. Do you want to show everyone?
I have a Friday the 13th tattoo.
Oh, sorry. I keep getting them mixed up. Do you want to flash it anyway?
I'm fine.
It's so pretty.
It's my tattoo from when I was 18 years old. It's 14 years old, that tattoo, and it bloody looks it. But I think the Halloween franchise is mostly broadly fine.
Well, another thing. So I wasn't as... I enjoyed the main event, but I was nothing to write. I've hardly written any notes, to be honest. The only thing I've of note for me is that this is probably Luke Harper's longest singles match since April 2017.
Yeah, probably.
Because, well, on TV at least, but probably on house shows as well, because the Bludgeon Brothers just squash people. They go very
matches.
Quick, even at pay-per-views against the Usos, they've been very short matches. But here, this was a proper long, went about 10, 12 minutes singles match with Daniel Bryan. Harper's great. But anyway, Bryan gets the yes lock locked in and Eric Rowan runs in. DQ finish. Another copy and paste thing from the previous night, which happened a few times on this show. But the Bludgeon Brothers start beating down Daniel Bryan. And that is when Kane's... I thought that's how this episode was going off air, with the Bludgeon Brothers posing afterwards. Never in a million years did I think Kane's music would hit and him walk out, beat up the Bludgeon Brothers, save Daniel Bryan, and then have this terrific, really milked stare down where it's Kane just looking at Bryan. Bryan's scared for himself. You've got to remember, the last time Bryan interacted with Kane was back when... it was Survivor Series 2017, and Kane chokeslammed Bryan.
Oh, backstage!
Backstage, in like...
Yes.
When Bryan was retired, and the lights cut out, and Kane took Daniel Bryan out of general managing action, not physical action. So of course he's going to be scared. So he scurries into the corner, and then Kane raises his hands, not to ignite some pyro from the corners, but for a big old cuddle.
Yeah,
and Bryan is like, no, I'm not having it. And he milks it perfectly. He goes to get out the ring, but just so the crowd are going crazy for hug it out. Hug it out, they're chanting. Brian turns around, and then they have what seems to be such a genuine embrace.
Well, if you Daniel Bryan's autobiography, like, he loves Kane. He absolutely loves, he's like, we got very different political views, but that's kind of what makes our relationship so much fun, because we sit there and we can just talk for hours about various different things. He's got so much admiration and love for that man.
If that is not just a brilliant example of bridging the divide of political opinion, Kane and Daniel Bryan, Dr. Shelby, you work miracles.
Well, here's the thing. So I was thinking about this on the way here. You can see why now they're doing the Bailey Sasha Banks thing on Raw, because I almost can guarantee it. They decided we're going to do the Kane and Daniel Bryan, going to reunite Team Hell No on SmackDown, and then Vince was like, "Oh yeah, well, that Dr. Shelby lad, like yeah, he came in. Oh, we could use him again. Who have we got on Raw? Oh, we'll do it with that feud there, and we'll bring him back." It's just like within the same two shows, therapy and these two guys reuniting. I'm like, Dr. Shelby is the clear link between these two of why they decided to do that angle on Raw.
So yeah, this is, I guess, is the question 12 minutes in. What next for Daniel Bryan and Kane? And yes, I actually don't think they'll cross the streams. I think they'll just have a copy and paste. Two quite similar things going on both brands.
Well, Kane and Daniel Bryan don't need the help. Mm. They're already.
Well, so Sasha Banks and Bayley are sent to counselling. Dr. Shelby was about anger management, so it's kind of different, but who cares? It's not like there aren't enough logic holes in WWE as it is. So Dr. Shelby's there, and he goes, well, as an example of how what you two could become, here's some past clients of mine, and it's Brian and Kane, and they could do a little bit. That's the only way I've figured out to cross them over.
That could possibly work.
I also watched one of the segments of Dr. Shelby and Team Hell No this morning, back from the day. And it's when Dr. Shelby's like, why don't we talk about anger and why we're all so angry? How about you, Kane? And it's, you know, a circle of people sitting down in the kind of help session. And Daniel Bryan just goes, oh, this is a bad idea. And then it just slowly zooms in on Kane recounting all the crazy stuff that's happened to him. I was locked in a basement. My half-brother Undertaker burnt my family. And then it like does this crossfade to insinuate a lot of time has passed in between these tales, and he's been talking forever. I once had a girlfriend called Katie Vick. That didn't work out too well. I've got an unhealthy obsession with torturing Pete Rose. I last locked my dad, Paul Bearer, in a meat locker. So those segments were so good, way better than they had any right to be. And it's like, it's seeing that love and watching them back together. This is nostalgia done right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm
really happy with this.
I'm really excited for the Extreme Rules match. Although, in your answer to your question of what next for Daniel Bryan and Kane, I think this will end up being a one and done thing.
I hope so.
Because I'd imagine the plan is to do Bryan Miz at SummerSlam. So, that's after Extreme Rules. So you kind of want to do this to, like, they don't win the tag titles at Extreme Rules, and then you can move on to Bryan and Miz come SummerSlam, and Kane can go off and do his mayor stuff.
Yeah, Kane really has, as we saw, Kane has no business sticking around longer than a month.
He has a short shelf life at this point.
Because I was a really big fan of his return last October, when he popped up out of nowhere. What was it, 20 years since his Bad Blood
debut. Yeah, yeah.
And he pops up in that cell match with Strowman and Reigns, and that fed into, that was the go home angle for TLC that year, before everyone got pulled from that show with viruses and whatnot. But that was really good. But then he stuck around, and you're like, it's limiting. I actually don't want to see you in the main event
The main event. He was in a title match at the Royal Rumble. Remember that?
Yeah, and I was looking back through what Kane did after. I was like, oh yeah, and then he had like a match with John Cena on Raw in February, and he was in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania 34.
I forgot both of those things, actually. The John Cena one in particular, but I could have swore, if you'd have asked me, was he in the Battle Royal, I'd have said no. I don't think he was on the card at all.
Yeah, I just thought, well, he finished at Royal Rumble,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah,
he
disappeared. And then he just disappeared.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I did it now, because I nearly said in my review, he made his return the first time since the Royal Rumble. I would have put money down that was the case.
Yeah. So that's if that doesn't tell you that Kane should go away as soon as possible, I don't know what else can get that over. But that's not to say that he's excellent as this three-week cameo thing. Really good. This was such a good storyline. And it's a testament to the episode that they can make this work with no Samoa Joe, no AJ Styles, no Shinsuke Nakamura, no women's champion Carmella on this show. Nope. And this was one of the best episodes of SmackDown of the year. And it's mostly down to this ending.
If only they had changed the middle of this show, it could have been a SmackDown show.
Well, original plans with Nakamura, maybe so.
Maybe so, yeah. It could have been, because, yeah, the middle portion of the show left a really bad taste in my mouth. But we'll come on to that in the full review.
But the last thing to say on it, what next in the immediate future, is that Extreme Rules match. That wasn't announced on my feed.
Oh, was it not? It was announced on mine,
Mine cuts off when Kane and Brian were celebrating.
Paige comes out and essentially was like, I don't want to like interrupt your parade. I was like, I mean, you've just stopped his music to play yours, so you kind of have stopped the parade. And she announced there's going to be the Bludgeon Brothers versus Team Hell No at Extreme Rules.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting thing about Extreme Rules that I've suddenly realised, though, is that they've announced all of these matches, but no stipulations for any of them, which is kind of the gimmick with Extreme Rules, is they're meant to all be stip matches. At the moment, they're just all regular old matches.
It's rumoured that Owens Strowman will be in a cell. But
in
that
a cell?
In a cell, yeah.
Like, are they gonna
sorry, in a cage.
I was going to say, not going to do a Hell in a Cell match just a couple of months before your Hell in a Cell pay-per-view.
Don't put that past them. I got my steel fortified superstructures confused. But yes, so they will be fighting for the tag titles at Extreme Rules, which, you know, they should lose.
Yes.
Otherwise, that would mean Kane sticks around and want Brian to go on for that Miz feud. So maybe Miz interferes. We tricked you. It's not the whole review yet. We're doing some Patreon shout-outs to our
$25 and above.
$25 and above pledge hammers. Thank you very much.
That's an extraordinary amount.
And you keep this show going. It's because of your support that we can do all the fantastic things we do.
And I want to say a big thank you as well to those $25 pledge hammers who suggested some corking suggestions for this month's Wrestle Ramble Extra. There's 8 suggestions. 4 of them are Bash at the Beach pay-per-views, given that it's the month of, well, it will be in the month of July. But there's also Dominion 2015, Destination X 2011, and what's the other ones we've got? WWE Vengeance 02, I think.
There's a weird one in there as well, isn't there, from 2011?
That's
just a B show.
There is no. I think you're thinking of last month. I think I've got it here somewhere.
It's Capital Punishment.
That was Capital. That was Dan. Dan's suggestion. This
Judgment Day 2009.
No, that's
no,
an old
that's
poll.
An old one.
That's an old poll. Hold on. This is great television. Great American Bash 05. That was real Dan's suggestion this month.
Dan is trying to lose. That's what he's trying to.
Although he's not.
He's not.
He's absolutely not. Goodness. Poor old Bash of the Beach 1997 with 0% is very much losing this poll.
How none of you suggested Bash at the Beach 96, the one where the NWO formed one of the most important wrestling pay-per-views of all time?
I mean, you say that. Do you know what else happened in July? Invasion.
Holy moly, we're not doing Invasion.
Yeah.
We've got to wait a whole year until we get to rewatch that masterpiece of booking. But for now, here are your WrestleTalk Hall of Fame induction rings. Get it? Paulie Dangerously Jarman.
The $100 Man, C.D. Horver.
Horver. The Craftsman, Blake Carpenter.
Michael, name your price.
What you talking about, Jerry Willis?
Caught in a Travis Webb.
Courtney Villainous Havoc Summers.
I trust you as Sam Farah as I can throw you.
David Hendrix's God, McKenzie.
Christopher the Condor Johnson.
The incredible Jorge Enriquez.
Rob Pontin Problems Pontin.
Matthew Preston City Wrestling.
Sean Far From Bland Blandford.
Stem Cell Robert Stemmen.
Big Ben Spires.
Dead the Pool Warrior.
Britain's Next Top Model, Phil Stopford.
He loves correcting our editing because Phil's an editor himself. And he's always like, oh, couple of audio peaks on that video.
Yep.
Cheers, Phil. Always appreciated when you say those things. Keeping us on our toes.
Yeah, absolutely.
The stepbrother, Brennan McCullough.
And killer Chris Phillips. That is the first one. That's the first 20 names of this month. So the rest of you, if you had your name missed off, will be on Saturday's Wrestle Ramble episode.
And if you want to get a shout out on this show and suggest topics for Fantasy Booking Warfare and the pay-per-view Wrestle Ramble Extra reviews, then head over to Patreon now and become a pledge hammer for Wrestle Talk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So we've already kind of talked about the opening segment that was Miz TV welcoming the Bludgeon Brothers and doing a quite funny back and forth interview.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't perfect in my eyes.
Mm.
Because they just did this thing again where Miz, to get around the fact that the Bludgeon Brothers are stoic and non-talking, Miz would do a little comedy bit with them and then throw to what happened last week. And it was Daniel Bryan, a clip of Daniel Bryan saying Miz isn't in the top stars. And Todd Phillips recapping what happened. And it was actually quite seamless. And I think that's more down to the Miz's abilities than anyone else's. But it's so stagey. They've really started doing it a lot over the last 3 months.
Yeah, you don't like the video recaps of things.
Well, I like video recaps. I don't
when
like...
When people throw it to the time.
Yeah, track. Like having a live promo, do a bit of live promo, then throw to a video package. Here's one I prepared earlier. How else can I make this more, you know, pre-planned and not organic? And then back to more live in-ring promo.
It doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you.
That's fair. And that's when the main event was made. And then the first match, which you said you were a big fan of.
I was a big fan of this.
Xavier Woods versus Rusev.
Number one contender to the WWE Championship, Rusev. So here's what I really liked about this. The fact that the promo at the start was there to remind us that Rusev Day are still heels, and they very much are still a team, so that's a good thing, is that I felt that this also accomplished something within this. It was perfect to put them against the Rusev because they could do comedy nonsense. And the...
You know what you just said?
What's that?
It was perfect to put them against the Rusev.
Did
I mean the New Day?
Did I say the Rusev?
You said the Rusev.
Oh, well, I don't know what's happened. Clearly, I've not had enough tea today, and I haven't actually had a breakfast. It was perfect because to put them against New Day, because New Day can do comedy nonsense, and Rusev Day have been doing a lot of comedy nonsense as of late. So it's fine. It's like, yep, they are still doing comedy stuff, but... Rusev is also an incredibly intense wrestler, and he can turn that around when he's like, I've had enough of comedy now. And just, you know, when he kicked Xavier Woods and then locked in the accolade, and he was like pissed off. And he was angry because, like, Big E was on the outside holding up signs that said, ouch, like it was Wile E. Coyote. And he was like, no, enough of this. And he locks in the accolade, a wicked-looking accolade, and be like, I'm going to win the WWE Championship. It made him look like a credible threat to AJ Styles. So I thought, actually, from a booking standpoint, that was really smart.
You're right. That's really interesting that they used comedy to transition Rusev away from comedy.
Yes.
Because if Rusev just went in there and squashed a jobber or even had quite a dominating performance against someone higher up the card who's serious, yeah, it wouldn't have been as impactful. You needed that, here is what I was, and now I've become this is what I've always been, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I am this Bulgarian brute. I am Rusev Crush.
The super athlete.
And I thought it did a really good job of giving Xavier Woods the rub.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the number one contender to the WWE title, Rusev. And Xavier Woods, just by being in there, usually that doesn't matter. But for some reason, well, it should matter, but WWE have made it a bit redundant that these number one contenders are something to be reckoned with. But here I thought it worked. And Xavier Woods, although only really got about 30% of the match, looked really good in it.
Yeah.
So everyone came out of this looking better than they did before, and that is the highest compliment you can give to a TV wrestling match.
I think that Xavier Woods is he's a great talent to have on your card, because he is someone that he can make other people look great while at the same time himself looking really good as well in defeat.
Very good. He's a great seller.
He's a very good seller as well. Yeah, really good. Really enjoyed the opener.
Aiden English's hair has grown out again, though.
Yep, I mean,
he looks good with the shaved noggin.
I know, man, but, you know, Baron Corbin's doing it now, so you got to try and do something different, haven't you?
And Rusev cut a really good promo at the end after making Xavier tap in the accolade. And he almost, Rusev Day, like you said, has been this comedic chant and this comedic catchphrase. But when Rusev at the end said, I'm going to win the title and it's going to be the best Rusev Day, I didn't think, oh, Rusev Day, cheap pop comedy. I thought that sounded badass.
Yeah, and I tell you what, man, dueling chants of AJ Styles and Rusev Day. Like, this is a feud that people want to see.
I think this might be a sleeper hit. Like, when Extreme Rules, this might be one of the most heated matches on the card. If they keep this bubbling away.
It won't be the main event, but it will certainly be like a really like heated upper mid-card match.
And keep AJ and Rusev apart as much as possible until that go-home show.
Yeah.
And then hopefully you can build on that. Next up, we got Jeff Hardy doing an upside down promo. He was upside down. The camera was upside down.
Yeah.
And he had like a green face paint on. He had those green cloudy
eye things.
Eye contact lenses.
Contact lenses, there you go.
And the eye things. And then the camera goes the right way up. This isn't for me. But I get that people love Jeff Hardy and the face paint stuff, but when I see this, I just think, ugh. Do you get that with the eyes? And,
I think it looks quite cool. I like it.
Yeah, it just makes me feel a bit, ugh.
He's an artist, man.
Yeah, but he looks like a zombie. Then we got cross promotion.
Yeah, so backstage, Lana and Naomi were arguing about dancing, and all of a sudden, the cast of Glow walked in for, and believe, this is a record-setting 9 women standing in a row. 9! It was it was so many women standing in a row, the camera could barely have them all in shot.
Had to keep tracking back and getting them all in, for reactions.
But if you've not watched Glow, you really should be, because it's a terrific show. The second season starts Friday, in fact.
This week?
This week, yeah, hence why they did the cross-promotion today. So I'm really looking forward to the second season starting.
I wish we were getting sponsored by them. We could get money for these plugs.
Absolutely.
But this is a genuine from-the-heart plug. It's a really good show.
I love it. And Alison Brie is so, so good in it, and the rest of the cast are really great as well. And Alison Brie in that show plays a Russian character. She's a Russian parody. She isn't American, but she does a Russian accent, so they can do, like, because it's set in the 80s, play off Cold War tensions and stuff like that. And so she and Lana got to do a bit of a skit talking about fake Russian accents, which I thought was quite a nice little touch, actually.
This was awkward, because it was the 9 women standing in a row, and it was a quite in-your-face promotional grab. But I didn't mind, because Glow, Naomi, that just makes sense. And like you said, the Lana and Alison Brie connection with the Russian accents. I just thought that was smartly worked in.
Yeah. When they all said at the end, "Feel the glow," that was already cringeworthy, but you could tell that Alison Brie thought that this was the dumbest thing ever, because she did a very mocking Police Squad-esque freeze frame.
Yes.
Everyone else is dancing, she just went...
Yeah, so she just freezes at the end with her fist in the air, and everyone else is still moving.
Totally.
Do you think it was Police Squad?
She's totally taken the piss out of what they were doing, because she probably was like, this is very rubbish.
I thought it was more someone didn't tell her that there's not a freeze frame ending.
I think you'd have noticed that everyone else around you was still moving. But it really made me laugh. But
Laura fun. It was a Laura fun.
But the weird thing coming out of this is they seemingly have set up a tag team of Naomi and Lana.
Hmm.
They're going to now be a tag team unit together, I guess, because why not, I guess?
Because that's the best use of Lana.
Yep.
Hey, well, if your theories of a women's tag division on the horizon are true...
Well, I didn't say there was a theory of a tag team division. It's just that apparently it's what Becky Lynch has been... She said in an interview that she has pitched a women's tag team division. I think probably because that gives her something to do. I think that's, she can't get storylines any other way, so she's just trying to make her own luck.
But WWE has also coalesced a lot of women together. So the Bayley Sasha Banks counselling sessions, that could be a team. You've got Absolution, you've got Iconics, you've got Riot Squad. You've actually got loads of teams. You've got enough teams for a shared female tag division across the brands.
Yeah, unfortunately, if you had Raw women's tag teams and SmackDown women's tag teams, that's going to get very stale very quickly.
You'd have to call up a lot more, I think.
You'd absolutely have to.
But after that glow segment was the payoff to the Jeff Hardy promo. Do you want to take this away?
Right, so Shinsuke
Nakamura... This is the bad part.
This is very much the bad part. So they announced that Shinsuke Nakamura was injured, which I didn't know, but you told me was because of a police dog attacked him.
Yeah, so PW Insider reporting, and quite a few other places as well, so it's like probably totally legit. On Monday's house show during the day for SmackDown, a police dog was just doing... Well, a police dog with a police officer. It wasn't just a police dog. Everything in order.
I was going to say,
rough.
In uniform, getting ready for rough.
And he's just doing, he's sniffing everyone. I don't know how it works. And he goes past Nakamura.
You're the son of a policeman.
Police officer.
Sorry, police officer.
Ex-police officer. But yeah, he never had a dog.
Policeman.
They're different
officer.
Divisions. And he, that this dog goes past everyone, but when it goes past Nakamura, he bites him on the leg. And it was enough to pull him from Monday's show and this Tuesday show as well. Apparently, Nakamura was backstage yesterday, still in pain.
Oh, man, poor lad.
Yeah, what a weird injury to
get.
Because
you and I theorised on the podcast that he was likely going to win the United States Championship here.
Yeah, on account of Nakamura really needing a win, the idea of him holding a US belt, being a foreigner, and Jeff Hardy...
pleading guilty.
But, and kind of occasionally working injured. So it's like there's quite a few reasons to take the belt off Jeff.
So, I mean, it's so interesting that you've just said then there's quite a few reasons there to take the belt off Jeff. So let's talk about what happened in this segment. So Jeff essentially then laid out an open challenge, which was answered by Eric Young of Sanity. And all of a sudden in my head, I was like, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. A, I'm pretty sure this was being taped in Canada. So I think it was in Ontario. You might want to double check that. But I could have sworn on Raw yesterday they said like upcoming shows. They said SmackDown Ontario. That could be very wrong, but I went into the show thinking it was in Canada. So that was my theory. I was like, Canadian guy possibly going to win the belt. And I thought, well, this is also great because you did a bit of a pants job of debuting Sanity last week. They just sort of did. There was something of nothing. This is a way to establish them as title contenders. You've put them into a program here where they can win a belt. Even if they don't win the belt, if they just put on a really good show and you do an F finish, whatever, at least you've made them look like legitimate contenders to something, which is better than what you did last week. Then they proceeded to A, botch a twist of fate like no one's business. Oh, we nearly got all of it. I think that's what they were said. He nearly got all of it. And then had the most boring match you could have possibly had, which was just Eric Young putting on rest hold. He would do a move, right back to a rest hold. He would do a move and then go back to neck cranking. And I was like, this is Eric Young and Jeff Hardy. These two could have a really good match. What agent backstage was like, do you know what you guys need to do? Rest holds. And nothing but rest holds.
Nothing screams insane leader of a cult like methodically working down your opponent with a load of ground-based submissions.
It's infuriating. Mm. And then the Usos come out of the crowd. They attack Sanity at ringside while Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf. And then Eric Young jumps out and he joins into the brawl. Referee calls a DQ and that's it. So Eric Young won by DQ, big quotation marks there for the win. And then that set up a six-man tag between Sanity and the Usos and Jeff Hardy. Sanity's first match on the main roster. Can you hazard a guess at what happened? They only went and bloody lost. Convincingly lost. And in that match, they also did nothing but rest holds. I mean, come on. Mm. You've had, and I only found this out because I miscalculated something earlier, 11 weeks since they were announced they were on the main roster. That's nearly 3 months to think of what you're going to do with this team. You did sweet FA last week and you had them lose this week. How the hell can you F this up so bad? This is beyond ridiculous. This is beyond stupid. This is beyond bad booking. This is ineptitude. This is pure, unadulterated ineptitude.
It's bad stuff.
So crap.
And it's really, really damaged Sanity going forward. When Eric Young came out for the match against Jeff Hardy, there was no crowd reactions. There was no crowd reactions for him answering the challenge. There were no crowd reactions for the entrance. And everyone pretty much sat on their hands during the boring match as well. Which is, you know, they're kind of dead in the water. I thought Wolf and Dane did a great job outside, just doing their facial expressions, Wolf doing his manic laughing and Dane looking really angry. But yeah, it really, really misjudged and a choice to have them lose, especially when, and I hate this, you've got a unit who work together all the time, a three-man faction, and then you've got a makeshift unit of a tag team and a singles star. Like, you've got an inbuilt reason there that they don't work as coherently together as a team as the actual faction. So that's where they lose. There's your out. Jeff Hardy could have lost this convincingly, and he would have been fine next week. Sanity losing this means they are going to struggle significantly going forward, and, you know, are probably ruined. Like, it's... And people are going to say, oh, you're jumping
too,
the gun, you're
doomsaying.
Look at the track record and tell me that this is going to get better. Like, Sanity are going to reach the potential that we all thought they could do and what they had in NXT. They were an NXT Tag Team of the Year, and that is a promotion with a lot of great tag teams. So it's very, very disappointing. And the worst thing WWE have done since the Lashley Sisters segment, which is astounding for a show this good, this episode, that this was in it.
It was, I couldn't believe my eyes. When Jeff Hardy won and the Usos and Jeff Hardy stood tall, I was like, I couldn't believe what I was looking at.
Yeah.
And I said this in my SmackDown review. I was like, what is the US title doing for Jeff Hardy? Like, it's doing nothing for him at the moment. It's like, Jeff Hardy's not more over because he's US champion. And what do the Usos gain from beating Sanity? Like, on their first try, they gain absolutely nothing. So no one gets more over in them winning. But, like, Eric Young getting the title in a shock win, that's something that they can almost hang their hat on. And I'm not saying that every time an NXT call-up happens, they have to win a title or get put into main events or get put in title matches straight away. But you've got to do something, because otherwise they just end up as another act on the roster. And this has completely flattened them out. And I was thinking back to the three NXT call-ups that they've had on SmackDown Live. They had the Iconics, Andrade Cien Almas, and Sanity. Those were your three major call-ups. And what have they done with all three of them? Iconics have done nothing but lose every since they've come up to the main roster. Almas, this is incredible, has only had two matches in the 11 weeks since he's been here. And those were against two local competitors. So he has done nothing for 11 weeks. And Sanity were off TV for 9 of the 11 weeks, did nothing last week, and then lost this week. And then I was thinking, I was like, why? Who would have really been hurt by Peyton Royce or Billie Kay being in the Money in the Bank women's match? Like, who, like, could have taken Lana out that match? Doesn't hurt Lana, but it gives Peyton Royce something. It gives Billie Kay something. You didn't have both of them, but having one of them in there would at least have made one of them look credible. But at the moment, they're nothing. They are just two more bodies on the roster that lose all the time. These lads are now losing. Andrade is doing nothing but cutting backstage promos about, like, oh, we'll have a match soon. Cool.
Mañana.
Like, man alive. I said this in the review. He was NXT champion in January and had what is probably going to be the best match WWE will put on all year in Gargano versus Almas. And what's he done coming up to the main roster? Like, it's absolute ineptitude, and it infuriated me so much. Thank God this show finished with, like, the great Team Hell No stuff, because I was pissed off with this. So stupid. It's really bad.
Yeah. Well, after that, we got a Becky Lynch win.
Yeah,
Becky. She took on Sonya Deville. I've just written here just how I'm sick of the Riot Squad taking on combinations of Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Ember Moon. How many times has Becky Lynch fought some combination of Absolution?
I don't know.
Because I'm also sick of that.
Well, yeah, but again, Becky's doing absolutely nothing at the moment, is she?
Like, she's on a win streak.
She's on a win streak, but what's that leading to?
Yeah. So this was... I like Sonya Deville as a wrestler. I like Becky Lynch. I thought the first minute of stuff was pretty good. It was a bit of chain wrestling, both of them feeling each other out. Becky did that great thing where she matrixes up out of a pin. And then they had the commercial break. And then when they came back, something just felt off. Like, they missed a spot and they didn't know what to do. So they just did roll up, roll up, roll up, roll up, roll up. And then Sonya tapped in the disarmer.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not brilliant.
No, it wasn't brilliant.
But then we got James Ellsworth backstage.
James Ellsworth is walking backstage, and he walked into Ty Dillinger, who somehow has a worse haircut than I do. Like, it, I mean, I'm not one to talk, because I haven't got particularly, I'm not happy with the haircut that I've had over the last couple of weeks. But Matt, his hair looked absolutely horrendous. It looked like he hadn't tried.
He looked a bit emo. Well, it was all swept. Spider-Man 3 Peter Parker style.
Yeah, but that's a style that someone, you can pull that off. It looked like he hadn't even bothered combing his hair, because, again, I was like, as I found where Ty Dillinger is, he's backstage doing nails, apparently.
Yeah, and he had the hypocrisy to call out James Ellsworth for having a bad face.
I know.
Because Ellsworth puts on the Asuka mask again. He's like, yeah, I do look good. Takes it off, and Ty Dillinger's like, whoa, put it back on, man.
Yeah, good.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself, Ty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then we got that Andre...
Who?
Andrade, Andre the Giant Almas. Memorial Battle Royal.
And this is, again, the sort of thing where, like, the other argument that we tend to be given whenever we talk about these sort of really bad NXT call-ups, and I did make this joke in my SmackDown review, but I was like, it says a lot about the NXT call-ups on SmackDown when Raw has done more with No Way Jose.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
They've done more with Todd. Todd.
But, like, so the other argument that you often get was like, well, you can't have everyone on TV every week. And that's true. You cannot have everyone on TV every week. This episode didn't have Samoa Joe, didn't have AJ Styles, didn't have Shinsuke Nakamura. Not everyone has to be on TV every week. But if you do nothing, if you do two things within 11 weeks, you need to have a better plan for when you call them up. Don't bother calling them up then.
Especially those top stars. People aren't going to forget, like, that they can miss TV and not lose momentum or presence.
One of them is the WWE champion.
Yeah, in fact, it's better to underexpose them. But when you're trying to build acts, you want them there repetition every week. There's the famous story about the New Age Outlaws. There, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, didn't actually catch on for 6 months. But they kept doing it week in, week out. And now we can recite that.
Verbatim.
Yeah, verbatim. Just... Yeah, other words that mean verbatim. I don't know, my brain's running out of energy here.
So anyway, Ellsworth came out to reveal his new gimmick. He's a Twitter troll. He's a misogynist Twitter troll, which is easy to make fun of.
Hey, he loves women.
That's it. That's
why. And the feeling is mutual. Awkward wink at the camera. Ellsworth's great.
He's so good at this role. And he came out because he wants to fight for the honour of coming. Because, hey, I love women. And then he wants to challenge Asuka to come down. This is a wonderful character. So he challenges Asuka to come down to the ring. Paige answers
instead. He takes off his top as well. Yeah. Like, come on, let's do this. Let's throw
so
down.
So good. Paige comes out instead. And she was like, Ellsworth, you know that Asuka isn't here this week. And I know that you know, because you were walking around backstage asking everyone if Asuka was here this week. You know she's at home in Japan. This is a great segment. And then she, like, you know, cut this promo on him. And he was like, oh, I get it. You want a date with me.
It's not the only reason you came out here, Paige.
And then She was like, yeah, I do want a date. We're going to have a date next week. Oh, only it's not a date. It's a match. Oh, and it's not with me. It's a match with Asuka. Lovely setup. And Asuka versus James Ellsworth on TV next week. Hashtag yes, please. That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
You don't need to say hashtag.
It's funnier when you do that.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it makes me sound like more of a dick.
You're working them. You're working the listeners.
Exactly.
I thought Paige was great here.
Yeah.
Ellsworth was great here. And I am so looking forward to... just a sort of Andy Kaufman style match against Asuka. I'm really curious to see how it goes because I don't want it to be an Asuka squash. I don't want Asuka to just lock in the armbar right away. I want Ellsworth to get some, to lay some fists in and get some genuine heat on Asuka.
Yeah.
Possibly by like Carmella cheating. I want this to be a 5-minute match.
Yeah.
And I want the crowd to really boo Ellsworth for beating up a woman.
Yeah.
Even though that woman is Asuka, who's you can beat most men up. I just think there would be but I don't know if WWE will do that because men beating up women, even if they're more physically matched, is problematic
imagine,
with some viewers.
I imagine it's just going to be straight into the Asuka lock and a tap out spot, or you know, whatever heel, whatever submission move she's currently working on at the moment. Speaking of sort of comedy matches, I was kind of surprised. A, Keir Stevens was not in with the cast of GLOW.
The third generation character.
The former Awesome Kong, the former...
Of course.
Yeah, the former Awesome
because
Kong.
Because the other... I don't want to say the big lady, but the big lady was
The one who plays Machu Picchu.
That's the one, yeah.
So Keir Stevens, who used to be Awesome Kong, she was Karma in WWE.
Yeah.
I thought... when they announced that the stars of GLOW were going to be there, I was like, well, I would have thought that she's there. Also, she's a wrestler.
Karma.
She might. I thought maybe they'll do an actual. They could do a match with Keir Stevens taking on.
It's not a bad show.
Do like a 5-minute comedy match just to set, you know, to promote the show, which would have been better than the backstage segment. But I get like she's retired and all this sort of stuff, so maybe she didn't want to do it.
Also, do you remember what her GLOW character is if she wrestled as her GLOW character?
I wouldn't say do it as the GLOW character.
A very outdated 80s racial stereotype, which works within the confines of the program because they're addressing those stereotypes, but it wouldn't go out of context.
But you could just do her as Keir Stevens, the actor.
Sure.
With the rest of the cast out there cheering her on. I think that'd been really fun. Also, the rest of them have had legit wrestling training.
Beat Lana. You've got the Russian thing there.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after the Ellsworth segment, we got the Luke Harper, Daniel Bryan stuff.
Yes.
So what? Well, apart from that Eric Young sanity stuff, which is just the worst. And I get that they had to change plans because Nakamura was out injured. Originally, it was going to be Nakamura, Jeff Hardy. But that's no excuse for short-sightedness on this level. Really damaging. Like, you probably ruined sanity.
Yeah.
I think it's quite safe to say, well, I would be safe to put a bet on that they've now ruined sanity,
and they're going to really struggle to come back from it. Mm. Like just losing, and I'll tell you how much. Like you know, if you want to look for evidence of this, look at the Iconics. Like the Iconics very rarely draw heat now, and no one reacts to
they
their.
They did at the start.
The start. No one really reacts to their promos now because it's hard to take them seriously when they lose a lot.
Mm. But it is a testament to the Rusev Xavier Woods match, the Ellsworth stuff, and the terrific Brian Bludgeon Brothers Kane angle that I would give this 4 out of 5.
I did the same thing. Mm. I really enjoyed the show. And as I said, without that sanity stuff, it could have been a SmackDown show because I enjoyed everything else on the show.
Yeah, one of the best episodes of the year.
We mentioned on yesterday's show, I said that I've got a big email to read to you. And you were like, from the guy who went on the date.
Yes.
And I said, no.
Jaron Walker. Who wants to walk with Jaron?
Jaron did get in touch with us, actually.
No.
I'm not sure after yesterday's email. Again, I should really be reading. A lot of these I've got in order from Poetry Corner. So we'll go into Poetry Corner shortly. So Jaron Walker, I don't know why. I always feel like I run home to tell my parents about about my day every time I write these emails. But here we go.
Oh, like he means like it's like he's done something good at school.
And then
mom.
Yeah. Oh, so here we go. Right. Hi, Mum and Dad. So anyway, okay. So here's Jaron's email. So I know there's been a big speculation between the three of us as to whether or not I can call my new lady friend my girlfriend or not.
Mate, this goes beyond the three of us now.
has.
There's quite a few people listen to this show.
Pod Swafters, After Swafters, they're all getting involved. However, I now know the answer. During our second date to the Playland, the amusement park that I had previously mentioned, we ended up running into two girls from college that my lady friend knew.
I've seen this porno.
She was quick to go up and hug them and followed that up by pointing to me and saying, like, by the way, guys, this is my boyfriend, Jaron!
Get in, Jaron!
I played it cool, like a certified G that I am.
And got an erection immediately.
And consensually gave the girls a handshake to greet them. I didn't even make a big deal about her calling my boyfriend. I'm just going to roll with it. I don't want to steer away from the fact that you guys are a big reason for me having an excuse to talk to this girl in the first place, so I need to sincerely say thank you to both of you guys. I'm not sure if you guys want to hear any more of this experience going forward, but I'll gladly let you know about anything noteworthy or humorous that happens during this, quote, relationship.
Well,
thanks again, Jaron.
Because Jaron does live in a Wes Anderson indie film. Second date was to an amusement park called Playland.
Yep.
Which sounds like it's for kids.
Could be.
Playland.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just, I think it might be just a general amusement, name, I suppose.
Over here, that sounds like a crash.
Or a really rubbish, it sounds more like a crash. I was about to say it sounds like a really rubbish bowling alley. Mm. But they've always got Hollywood Bowl or Mega Bowl.
Yeah.
Mega Bowl was the one that was closest to me.
Super Bowl.
Yep.
That's another thing.
We used to just go down there to play the arcades as opposed to go bowling. But I have got one more email to read.
Well, I just wanted to... Oh. Yes, we do want to know everything that happens in this, quote, relationship, Jaron.
Mm-hmm.
And... let's just keep it between us three and all the listeners. And I'm sure that will in no way blow up later when the lady person finds out.
Who is a fan of wrestling, as we know, because she wears Bullet Club t-shirts and Seth Rollins t-shirts. She might have more t-shirts.
This is our first Wrestle Talk romance.
It's nice. What if they get married?
Oh, my God.
Do you think we get to go?
If they pay our appearance fees.
Which are small at best.
Which are grossly affordable.
So I've got one more email to read out before we get into Poetry Corner, because there's a follow-up to yesterday's bombshell email.
From, I don't even know if I want to know.
Anonymous friend from... Well, where did he describe? Said he was going to come from deepest darkest Scotland. Mm. So we're just saying it. We're calling him Fitch. That's all. That's it. You know, it's just from Fitch. We don't know what his real name is. Fitch got in touch with us again.
So just as a recap, Fitch was messaging someone on Grindr who had a photo of me as their profile, and that Fitch confronted this person and said, are you actually Ollie Davis? I don't think your girlfriend would be. Does she know about you being on here? And this person said, no, not actually Ollie Davis. Just use it because I'm not out to my friends and family, which is fine. I think that's quite a sweet use of my image. But then Fitch was talking to his friend and found out that this friend had been messaging the person pretending to be me. And this time they were exactly pretending to be me, introducing themselves as YouTube star Ollie Davis.
YouTube personality Ollie Davis.
Not star.
Star's a bit big.
YouTube mega celebrity Ollie Davis. And that's the bit that makes me uncomfortable.
Well, anyway, so Fitch gets in touch again. Hi, guys. You won't believe the shock in me when I heard Luke begin to read out my email. I thought I'd send you a wee update about how things stand. I actually had that previous email written out for a few weeks, and I've been humming and hawing about whether to send it or not. When I was drunk, as you'll see by the time it was sent, I thought, screw it, and popped it off to you.
Scottish person.
As we've got the details of when it was sent. Oh, 1:48 a.m. So
nice.
Yeah, nice. Where are we? I had been speaking to that guy on and off since all of this occurred, but rarely more than the odd, how's your day been, etc. from my perspective. Anyway, since then, I've met someone, not technically on Grindr, and we've been on a date and another planned for next week. We drink in the same local and had smiled at each other here and there, but given we live in a pretty staunch ex-mining community, you never can be too sure whether someone is smiling out of friendship or something more. Then, during our regular pub quiz, I realised that I'd spotted him on Grindr, so must be gay. I had a quiet word with him outside, and stumbling over my words in between bouts of flushes, managed to get out that I was gay too. He told me that he was relieved because he was too shy to talk to me himself.
Wait, we are romancing all over the place.
Anyway, he doesn't like wrestling, but after our first date, I showed him Total Divas and he absolutely loved it, so there is hope yet. As for Mr. Catfish, I've blocked him on WhatsApp and rejected his Facebook friend request. My date and I had a wee glance on Grindr and he wasn't back as Ollie from what we can tell, so hopefully he's learned a lesson. Keep up the consistent work and thank you for your advice. You're both good eggs. Kiss.
Ah, well, I'm very happy that it's working out in the dating world for you, Fitch.
Absolutely.
Especially if it's in that small mining town. But those, like, those do tend to be, like, you know, closed-minded communities, or maybe not closed-minded these days, but just difficult to come out to. But they're also, like, the main subject of all coming-of-age gay films in Britain.
Well, I think that's because it's like an...
Pride, Billy Elliot, all in a mining town.
That's because it's an interesting place to set a film, I suppose. I was watching...
I think it's the tunnels.
There's a documentary on Channel 4.
It's hot and sweaty down there.
Called 1 Year to Find Love. Mm. And it's about these people who have given themselves 1 year to fall in love. And it's... I mean, it's quite a broad... The parameters of it are very, very loose. And you can tell why it's essentially gone straight to 4OD.
Yeah, that's never a good sign.
Yeah, or all four. But the gimmick of it is that everyone is just... There's no camera crews. Everyone's just filming everything on their phones. So it's all just like self-shot, selfie
stuff. Like SmackDown
stuff. Promos. Like SmackDown promos. A whole show of SmackDown promos that aren't scripted.
I would tear my eyes out if I ever had to watch that show.
There are some people on there who are abhorrent. there's one girl on there who went to the Henley Gala.
Yeah.
You know, just like, and said it was the best day of her entire life. And I thought, oh, what a small life you have led.
Hey, maybe she likes boats.
Well, maybe. But anyway, there was a guy on there who was from, I believe, like one of the Isles of something. It's an island that is about 2 miles long.
Sure.
And he is a gay man. And he, when refreshing Grindr, there's like only ever 2 results. And he's met both of them and didn't get on with either of them. And he refreshes, like, there are no more results left. And he's like...
You have completed this island.
Exactly. He's like,
move on to the next territory.
Like, how can I meet someone when there's literally no other gay people on this island?
Well, I assume a sexy supply teacher would come over to fill in for a term. And you can have a whirlwind romance.
Well, if he's a listener, then maybe he can hear that bit of advice. I mean, I haven't watched the rest of the show. And I don't think I will. I mean, my wife kind of liked it, but I thought it was fine. Anyway,
life's too short.
Do you want to quickly step into Poetry Corner?
Wait, what was the point of that, of talking about... Oh, just because it was someone... Yeah. I forgot. Well, I was like, why are we talking about that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's have one poem because we've got a whole ramble club to record.
We do indeed. This is from Andy Burgess. This is my first creative outlet in over 10 years.
Wow.
Sorry in advance. Thank you for being consistently awesome. Love you. Bye. So here's his poem.
I'm looking forward to this.
The youngest, the most gifted, with darkness in their soul, destroying our forebears, our fathers, our kin. No one was spared, no mercy for our band. Even my own family, someone had to act. Our battles are eternal. Who will be the Iron Man, feuding over trinkets, popularity, and fame? We thought ourselves as gods, the masters of our trade. We were merely puppets, displayed at our tyrant's whim, forced to duel forever, despite the world's disdain. And he called it a partially vague wrestling poem.
So to me, I mean, there's quite a few things that could be, but my mind instantly went to Undertaker and Kane, and I couldn't shake it from that point off.
Mm.
What did you? Who do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, the youngest, the most gifted, that would be Kane, but surely then the Undertaker would be the most gifted.
Most gifted
is the giftest. But like I was thinking, you know, no mercy for our band. I thought was an interesting line. Our battles are eternal. Who will be the Iron Man? So
yeah, the Iron Man jarred in that.
Maybe it's something like could be Shawn Michaels, Triple H. Like
tuning up the band.
They are their friendships. The youngest being Triple H.
Uh-huh.
Not sure if you could argue that he's the most gifted. Maybe I'm not sure. Our fathers, our kin. There's lots of stuff in there. It's interesting.
Ah, well, Anthony, send this in,
Andy.
Andy Burgess, send us in what that all means. But I thought that was very good. I'm happy that people are sending this stuff in.
I've got loads of poetry.
Really?
By the way. I've got loads.
So people don't say that they love Poetry Corner, but they do submit their own poems.
Yes. Yeah, so I've got.
So that's kind of like saying they like it.
Pretty much. I've got. I mean, this is what I like. Looking in my emails, I've got a lot of crap gimmicks. I've got poetries, I've got correspondence about people meeting wrestlers, and I've got some more Agony Arts requests that we can look at on future episodes.
Oh, yes, please.
So, and we've even got, like, how WrestleTalk brought me out of fan retirement.
Nice. I love those stories.
Before we go, just this one from Buttered Toast, who is a pledge hammer, who, this is not, he's written here, not very good at poetry, but I made a haiku.
Ooh, haikus. Hey, if you want to write something and send it in, And you need structure, and you don't want it to take a lot of time, haikus are your friend. Or like a haiku or a limerick, which is a rhyming version of a haiku.
And if you want to remember what a haiku is, just watch that scene from Wayne's World. It's like, we're looking down on Wayne's basement. But that's not Wayne's basement. Isn't that weird?
I mean, yeah, there's probably better ways. But yeah, let's hear the haiku.
Luke and Ollie rule. WrestleTalk is number one. Support WrestleTalk.
Yeah, I mean, that's more of a list of things. I like haikus that end in a question mark or just like a weird line at the end. Have you ever seen Danny Dyer do... Sorry, Buttered Toast, that was good though. Have you ever seen Danny Dyer do haikus?
No.
I will show you a video after this recording. It's just him in back alleys of a football stadium set like saying haikus. And he goes... That's actually really deep. And it's very, very funny. Danny Dyer is a man who understands what Danny Dyer is.
Nice. Well, I suppose that's all we've got time for today's podcast. We will be back on Saturday with the magazine show. But also, there will be some fantasy booking warfare. What schedule are we looking at? Are we going to release the magazine episode on Friday?
No, on Saturday.
But when's Fantasy Booking Warfare?
FB Dub would go up on Sunday.
On Sunday. So yeah. You're going to get Fantasy Booking Warfare on Sunday and the magazine show on Saturday. So a full weekend of podcasts.
You've said it now. That's the first time we've said FB Dub is this weekend. Oh. We've been meaning to do it for the last couple of weeks, but we keep stumbling over...
Timing.
And doing it.
Yeah, like, I think we've got to do it now.
We do. But I can't get my teeth into this story.
Neither can I.
Yeah, it's tough.
Bearing in mind that we've now had, say, 6 weeks to prepare this.
We're overdue.
And if we deliver something that is really half-assed, like, it's sanity levels of, like, no plans in place. Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you at the weekend.
I'm sure it'll be great. Love you, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.